Beaumont Hospital Foundation is a charity which works to bring about improvements in the care and conditions available to patients attending Beaumont Hospital. Each year, the foundation uses the funds raised through donations made by individuals, companies and the community to finance much-needed equipment and projects from across the hospital, and these make it easier for staff to provide the best care possible. In 2012, Beaumont Hospital Foundation provided €300,000 in funds to a range of hospital projects which fall outside of HSE funding. Many patients and families of those treated in Beaumont become involved with the foundation, helping to raise funds generally or for a particular area within the hospital. Today, we hear from former patient Maria Gray. Maria was diagnosed with a brain tumour and underwent surgery in Beaumont, the National Referral Centre for Neurosurgery and Neurology, to have the tumour removed.
And now I'm joined in the studio with Maria Gray, and Maria's going to talk about surgery she's come through. As we're saying on Lifeline, once a month we're going to be doing interviews with people who have gone through major surgery and come out the other side. Good morning to Maria.
Good morning.
Now, you've had surgery done a couple of months ago. Can you tell us a little bit about your time in Beaumont Hospital and your symptoms of when you first start getting headaches, or what way did it affect you?
The first symptoms I had were I would get a really strange sensation in my stomach, and I lost the power in my leg and it shook out, and then it started to build up. Then I'd get a sensation and a strange feeling would wash over my leg and arm, and I lost the power and it would shake out. I found out then they were partial seizures I was having, but that had been going on probably for about 3 years. I'd been back and forth to the doctor a couple of times. He thought I had a trapped nerve in my back. I suppose because I never had a headache.
Yeah.
I never got a headache at all. And other than these symptoms that I was getting occasionally in the beginning, I had nothing else. I was fine. I was healthy. I went about my everyday life. I was still working out, eating fine. Everything was absolutely 100% other than these occasional strange sensations.
And that's all how you can describe it, like strange sensations.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you said, they were coming now and again, but as time went kind of on, were you getting them more frequent?
They were becoming more frequent, yeah. And they had been happening for a while, and I became pregnant then and had my third baby. It only happened twice while I was pregnant, but when the baby was, I think she was 3 or 4 days old, and I was feeding her myself, and I was absolutely exhausted, and there was just a day where they happened all day, this funny feeling that I didn't know what it was. In hindsight, I probably should have went back to GP or went to A&E, but you know yourself, a new baby at home, you just...
Yeah, and you put yourself to the back of the line, and that's really, I suppose, what we should be kind of thinking of. You know, you're the head of the family, and you really should be looking after yourself. Mm-hmm. But like yourself, I have four kids, so my kids come first all the time, and
absolutely.
You can't say, I'm tired, and you do put a lot of things down to tiredness. But so you were getting it more frequent after you had the baby, so did you go back to the doctor again?
I went back to the GP. He did do a full neurological exam on me, as in, like, check my arms and legs, push, pull, do all that kind of stuff, check my eyes. And everything appeared to be okay. But he said he would refer me to a neurologist in Talla Hospital. It was probably maybe 7 or 8 months waiting to see a neurologist. And the same, the symptoms were just happening more regularly for no apparent reason. I was waking up through the night as well with my arm and leg shaking. So I went back, and I don't know if it was gut instinct or gut feeling or what it was, but I just knew something wasn't right.
You know yourself, and your body.
Yeah.
So is this on one side of your body?
Just on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went back to him and said I wasn't happy, and I was concerned. He asked me what I was concerned about. I said that I had Parkinson's or I had MS or I had a brain tumour. Absolutely never thinking. It was while I said it, it was the last thing
on your mind.
On my mind,
and
maybe because it's too much to think about when you have a young family.
Exactly, I've trapped the baby as well.
Four
other kids to look after.
Yeah, the baby was 10 months old at that stage. So he just said that if I could afford to go and have a private MRI scan, that maybe it would be a good idea. It was more for peace of mind that he was sending me.
So you had to go privately, you had to pay privately to get an MRI scan.
Yeah.
If you hadn't gone for that private MRI scan, you probably would have been left waiting another year or so.
Absolutely still waiting.
So what happened when you got the MRI?
The results were back within 24 hours. I phoned a GP and he said that a small lesion had shown up on the left side of my brain, and the left side controls the right side and vice versa.
Really?
and to go over and see him the next day to have a chat, possibly about MS or the start of MS. So we went over to him the next morning, and he said that, like, you can have a couple of lesions on your brain. They show up as lesions if you have MS, and that I would be going to see the neurologist. He would go down to the hospital and try and push the appointment through. I went to, it was the end of May then, when I went up to see the neurologist, and I saw Sinead Murphy, the consultant neurologist in Tala, and as soon as I explained to her what happened, she asked me what medication I was on. I said none, because I didn't know what I needed to be on medication for. And she said they were partial seizures.
So you haven't done it for the past 3 years?
Yeah. And still, obviously, my first concern was, oh my God, I've been driving around.
Exactly, yeah.
And it did happen once when I was driving and it frightened the life out of me. So she said, no, absolutely no driving. Take the medication and try and get the seizures under control. They were never brought under control with medication. She did say it was a growth that I had and that I would need an MRI with dye and a CT scan, which I had done the beginning of July in Tala Hospital. And in fairness, she was very good. My husband had went up, and I have to say, my husband, he pushed for everything. He was constantly on the phone. He went up a couple of times to Tala Hospital to the receptionist in the neurology to find out what was happening. We were due to go away on holidays to West Cork. And he just said, like, what do we do? Do we go? Do we not go? Will we wait? We need to know what's happening, like what the growth is and whatever. And in fairness, Sinead Murphy did phone me Friday the 13th of July to tell me the results were back, and it was a tumour growth.
And how did you feel when you were told that?
My first question to her was, is it benign or is it malignant? And she said it looked like a benign meningioma, but she couldn't be sure. And just with the seizures and where it was down deep, and it looked to be in a tricky place, and that really there was nothing that Tala could do for me. My best option was to be referred to a neurosurgeon in Beaumont Hospital.
So Beaumont Hospital are the hospital for surgery and brain. So you were told this, and you would never expect it to be.
No.
For it to be this, you were probably thinking like MS. So you were transferred over to Beaumont Hospital to see a specialist over there. Yeah. So what happened then?
I saw Dunica O'Brien at the beginning of September. I think it was the first week in September. And he looked at it and just basically said it needed to come out straight away. He was saying kind of 2 weeks, and I was like, right, I have 5 children to sort out. 2 weeks is too soon. I can't plan it.
I know.
And it was probably more nerves setting in than anything else.
Yeah, well, you would be.
So he said that within 2 weeks I would have my MRI with dye and a CT scan to plan the surgery, and I would be in 2 weeks after that for surgery, and I was nearly to the day.
So when you were brought in for your surgery, how were you feeling? I mean, this is a major operation. You had been told it was benign, or was it?
No, Tala said it looked like a benign meningioma. Dr. O'Brien and his team felt that it was a grade 3 carcinoma, which would be a malignant tumour. Myself and my husband went home, and I just said to him, please don't look anything up online. I don't need to know what a grade 3 carcinoma is. You don't need to know. We'll just wait a couple of weeks. And I kind of felt we'd come a few months.
Yeah.
So it was no point looking anything up online and worrying ourselves to death, really, about
exactly,
what it was.
Yeah. Because sometimes, as I say, you look up online and it would frighten the life
absolutely,
out of you.
Yeah.
But when you hear something like that, grade 3, you kind of think, how bad is that?
Yeah.
And did you ask these questions to the doctor, how bad is it, what's the outcome before you had surgery?
Not at the first appointment, no. It was only when I went in. My surgery was scheduled for the Monday morning, and I was admitted on the Sunday night, and Dr. O'Brien took myself and my husband down to the office to talk to us, and it was like walking down the corridor going to the headmaster's office. I was kind of giggling, saying to Dave, oh my God, I feel like we're in trouble, this is not really good.
Yeah, you had a bad feeling that there was something going to be told.
So we went into his office, he went through surgery and what would happen and the possible things that could happen, and I was told very clearly that I could lose the power on the right side of my body because of where the tumour was, and the same about grade 3 carcinoma. And I just said to him, like, look, maybe we were ignorant or naive or whatever, but we didn't look it up. Does that mean it's malignant? And he said, oh yeah, absolutely. He did say, hopefully Tala are right and we're wrong, he said, but basically, like, they are their specialists in their field. So I said, I didn't know what way tumours were graded or anything, and I asked him, and he said grade 1 to 2 are benign, grade 3 is malignant, and grade 4 means it's an aggressive form of cancer. So I was like, right, okay, we just need to get on with it now, and I just wanted surgery over. But I did say, when we came out of his office, I did say to my husband, like, he looked like he was going to pass out. I did say to him, look, don't be worrying, it will be fine. I told you all along it's going to be okay and it will be benign. And I'd been having Reiki healing done for the last few months.
I think a lot of, as you said, alternative medicine will help your body, you know, your mind as well, cope with that. You seem to be very calm and very, maybe it was just when you're hit with something like this, you cope.
I think it was the only way I could get through it. And I'd said to Dave, I mean, we have a fantastic family, both of us. We live beside Dave's family in Tala, and they're absolutely brilliant. And I'm originally from Ballymun, but to say my family are absolutely brilliant. I have a younger sister, and when I say, like, she just dropped everything to come and look after the children, it wasn't even up for discussion. It was like, no, I'll be there to look after them. And she came, and she kind of moved in for the first 2 weeks when I was in hospital, so that Dave could be back and forward.
You need help like that at a time like that. You need support, and especially from your family, and it's great you had that. But talking about Dave, your husband, he must have been going through hell at the time. I know you were going through the major brain surgery, which it is major surgery. But as I said, you kind of had it, you know, this piece kind of in you to, it's the only way probably you have to cope with it, because
it was the only way I could get on with it. And my only thing was, I wanted things to be as normal as possible for the children at home. I didn't want any upset for them. I'd went and spoke to their schools and told them I was going into hospital and what was going on, and I didn't, it wasn't a free pass for them in school to be getting away with things and not having homework done and stuff that I still wanted. Like, so, things to go on. Our two older girls, they're in secondary school, and you don't really have as much contact with secondary schools. But I had informed their school, and they were like, yeah, fine, that they'd keep an eye out for them. And it, our 8-year-old and 6-year-old, they go to an Irish school beside us, and I went up, and they're absolutely fantastic to school. Even only the other day, Ava said, she was talking about school, and she absolutely loves her mentor, Anna. And she said, Mammy, Anna was so nice to me. Do you know that when you were in hospital? And I said, well, she, that's good. And she said, yeah, every day she just put her arm on me and say, are you okay, chicken?
Well, I suppose it does affect. I mean, we don't really like kids that take a lot in, you know, so they would know there was something different going on and Mammy was going to hospital. So the night before your surgery must have been very traumatic for you and for your husband, Dave.
I think I'd say the only emotional meltdown I had was the Sunday when I had to leave the house to give the children a kiss and leave the house. It was just, I thought that I wouldn't get through it, but the same, I didn't want them to see me upset. And my sister was over and dishing the dinner up on the Sunday before we left, and she's like, the little ones are just sitting at the table eating their dinner, you know, see you, Mammy. See you tomorrow. Will we see you tomorrow? And I said, no, not tomorrow, because I'm having the operation tomorrow. And like, it was like, oh yeah, grand, whatever. And I think we didn't make a fuss about it. So I think, like, they were okay about it. And the only way I think I got through it was to try and stay calm and keep focused. And I needed everyone around me to be calm too, and be positive. I was absolutely, it will be benign and there's nothing to worry about. My husband did ask a nurse the night before, what did it mean if it was grade 3? And she said, well, it would be probably radiotherapy if the tumour wasn't all removed. And I think there was talk about 18 months to 24 months, and well, if it's grade 4, the same intensive radiotherapy, and that I could be, I think she meant I could be quite ill within a much shorter time if it was grade 4. So still, I think to this day, Dave still doesn't know how he drove home.
I think he just went to autopilot.
He didn't tell me that, which was good. He didn't tell me until a few days after surgery.
Now, we were hoping David would come up and talk today, but he said he's still very, which you would still be upset about. And it's still early days, I suppose, so he's not ready. But he was your one support. Well, I know you had loads of your family around you, but he was your rock there,
the
really,
number
for you
one,
to keep you going. So the morning of your surgery, when you went down, and going through any type of surgery is frightening anyway. You know, I think just the whole thing of getting an anaesthetic, I hate. No, I remember getting my operation. I said, no, will I wake up, or I won't wake up through the operation? You know, it's always, it's a frightening time. So, but your major surgery must have been very frightening for you.
I remember saying to Dave, like, a few times before surgery, just, I wish it just wasn't my brain. I wish they just didn't have to go into my brain. I don't know what it was. I don't know why it's different than your part.
Sensitive or very delicate or something. That's probably. And so how did it go then on the morning?
It couldn't have went any better. I walked down to surgery. Do you want a wheelchair down? No, I don't. I walked down to surgery with my husband and one of the nurses from the Richmond ward. Went down. There wasn't a long wait. It was a few minutes. Went into surgery. And obviously I don't remember anything until I came out, and Danica O'Brien was there, and I remember him saying to me, "Marie, lift your right arm, or lift your arms," and I could get my left one up, the right one just
wouldn't
go anywhere, no. And I remember not being too bothered about it, because the next thing he said to me was, "Marie, we got all the tumour and it looks benign."
Brilliant.
And absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
I remember smiling, and I think Dave said I was wheeled back up from surgery, obviously still a bit, well, very over, but with a smile on my face, and it was the first thing I said to him.
Great.
When Dave came over to me, "It looks benign, I think it's benign," which it was.
Ah, that's
thank
brilliant.
God.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
To wanna, you know, and you were very positive and hoping it was, and
absolutely
it was. So you lost the power in your right arm?
Completely on the right side.
Oh, completely
leg
on the right
arm,
side.
Leg and arm, yeah.
So how long did that take to come back? Because you're perfectly walking in today,
yeah,
you look great.
Slowly over. Kind of, well, look, you know yourself when you're in hospital, there's no sitting around. I wouldn't really be so like a person to sit around and feel sorry for myself. I had surgery on the Monday, and on the Tuesday I had the physiotherapist up to me check, and the doctors were still in, and all Monday night like sticking kind of pins in and rubbing sharp objects along my arm and leg to make sure I had sensation so I could feel everything that you were doing. I just couldn't move it. It's like that bit of my brain just shut down.
Just a dead weight.
I couldn't move it. But it did slowly come back over the next 24 hours. And like literally, I could move a finger, and then it came back in my hand, and then slowly I could move my arm. Now, I mean, everything was, well, it probably wasn't that slow, but it felt really slow. When you're used to being up and mobile and active, everything felt really slow. And the physiotherapist was up on the Tuesday and had me sitting up, and, "Do you want to sit out?" And I was like, "Yeah, can I? Why would you not be able to sit out on a chair? Absolutely, let's go. We'll help you and show you how to get out." Yeah. And I think on the Wednesday then, it was down to the gym for physiotherapy.
Really? Just 2 days after? That's brilliant.
Then,
that's great.
Yeah, it was then twice a day, most days, I was in the gym for physiotherapy. And I was in Beaumont. Once they were waiting on the histology report back to say that it was definitely benign, that came back, so it was like as if they could just make a plan of action down what would happen. It was benign, everything was fine, and then they planned for me to go back to Talla. So I had 2 weeks in Beaumont of intensive physio then, and then I went back to Talla where I continued the physiotherapy.
And were you admitted to Talla? Were you in?
Yeah, I was in for another 2 weeks then, yeah. But I left Beaumont after 2 weeks. I was able to walk a bit of a distance, maybe the length of the ward with a walking frame. But could get around the bed and stuff with a walking stick.
Well, 2 weeks, that was a great achievement. I mean, compared to what could have happened.
Yeah.
So did you find your time in Beaumont? I'd say 2 weeks is a long time away from the kids. You know, it must have felt so long for you. But I suppose when you're getting that intensive therapy, and, you know, you're delighted that it's not cancerous and you're going to get your life
absolutely.
Back. But how did you find your stay in Beaumont?
Absolutely fantastic. The staff, I still say now, you know, when people compare, "Oh, Beaumont and Talla," and I went, "Oh, Beaumont was like a hotel."
Really?
Absolutely lovely. Everybody, obviously, I mean, Danica O'Brien, we'll always be extremely grateful to him and his whole team. But all the staff on Richmond Ward, they were so nice. They were lovely. I mean, I had my babies and I had a section on my first little girl, and I would be very, you know, "No, I'd be fine, look after myself." And poor Dave, Dave will help me into the bathroom to get washed and whatever. And the first shower that I went for after I had surgery, I mean, I had to be brought in a wheelchair, and the nurse had to help me strip down. I remember I was just not even embarrassed. It was just, I don't know.
You kind of think when you're having the baby, you have to go through all this.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
I know, and you're sitting there, but look, you know, it had to be done. And
there was never, I never felt uncomfortable with any of the nurses, and like everybody, even down to like the porters and the staff that bring your food in, and they were absolutely fantastic. And the physiotherapist, I mean, I was with Anne McAuliffe she was my physiotherapist for the 2 weeks, and I felt like every little achievement I got, she was so happy about it. I was over the moon, but she was so happy as well, like when I could do small things like take steps.
It just goes to show, Maria, you know, I only found out that Beaumont do brain surgery for children as well over there. Yeah. I didn't realise. And, you know, the work they do is, I know we see, we give out about the waiting list, we give out about the accident and emergency, which is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. It's not Bowman's fault. It's the government's.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
You know, but you could be left on a trolley there for 2 hours. But when you actually are in there and you get the care, yeah. I've had an operation in Bowman as well, and I got great care, great surgeon and great doctors. But, you know, we just need to put a... the government need to do more for the accident and emergency.
Absolutely.
And get the, you know, beds filled and more doctors and nurses. But I'm absolutely delighted that you came through that surgery, because it was major, major surgery. So where are you now? What point are you at? Do you still have to get physio?
No, I was discharged. I went home November. I was discharged in January from Tala Hospital with a follow-up appointment, they said, for 6 months after, and sent home with exercises to do. Myself, I was going back as an outpatient. Now I haven't been doing the exercise as much as I probably should, but I mean, I'm out walking and stuff, and I'm training for the mini marathon.
Are you? Fair play.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so
and
I'm doing other
do
exercise. An oral surgery in Beaumont Hospital.
Great. I know, do you know what? It does take something like that to kind of realise, you know, we've all gone through something like that, and then you will do it. I've done the same for the Heart Children, do a fundraising.
Absolutely.
Because it's only when you're in the position you realise the amount of work they do and
yeah.
how good they are, and, you know, which the government funding isn't great, you know, for support groups out there. But fair play to you. And you're doing the mini marathon, fair play, and you look great. And so that's it. Were you ever told why you had this, or how
no.
come? Is it hereditary now?
No, nobody in my family has had one. Dave did ask, like, why is there a reason? I think he just needed an answer, like, yeah, she's on her mobile phone too much or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He said, like, you know, is there anything, could it be stress? And he was told it's bad luck.
Just one of those
bad
things.
Looks, yeah, absolutely. He still gives out to me now if he sees me on the phone a lot through the day. Take the phone away from your ear.
You'd wonder, why would you have been on the phone a lot?
Well, probably not any more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
As I said, I know there's so many surveys done about the mobile phone. Jesus, I'm always on my phone. But you know, but you would wonder sometimes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Looking, fair play to you. You look great. And thanks very much for coming in and talking to us here on Lifeline. And good luck.
Thank you.
And good luck with the mini marriage.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for joining us here.
If you would like to support the work of Beaumont Hospital Foundation, you can make a donation online at www.bhf.ie or call us on 01 809 2161. We'd love to hear from you.
And there you go. That was Maria Gray talking to us there about her operation in Beaumont Hospital. What a lovely lady and what a brave lady. And as she said, she came through with the help of her husband, Dave. He was a great help to her. He wasn't able to talk that day because it was, I suppose, still early days. She said herself he still felt very traumatised by it. But as Maria said, she's come through and she's getting stronger day by day. And she wants to thank Beaumont Hospital for all the work they did for her. And as Sheila said there, Beaumont Hospital Foundation are doing great work as well. And if you wanted to donate or find out more about Beaumont Hospital Foundation, you can give them a ring on 809 2161.